It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been beautiful, beautiful weather out there, sunny and bright and highs in the 60s. It's been perfect. The farmers are combining the corn and the soybeans as well, and the alfalfa is still green, and people are still picking tomatoes, but they better hurry because there's going to be a frost tonight, so you want to get out and cover up your flowers. It's going to be nice weather next week, and you may as well have your marigolds and your geraniums. No sense in having them die prematurely on you. It was homecoming last night in Lake Wobegon, and the Lake Wobegon Leonards played the Millet Marauders in football, and we didn't lose by as much as we could have, let's say that. 42-14 is a respectable score when it comes to the Millet team. We lost to them, but I mean, it wasn't, 89-2 or anything just horrific like that. The Millet players came, and they're a rough bunch, and they use a lot of rough language on the field that is just offensive to any decent person, which our players are. And they came, they'd put something on themselves that made them smell like horse urine, and maybe it was horse urine, I don't know. And it just made our team reluctant to interact with them, and you just didn't even want to touch them, which kind of threw a wrench into our defensive game. And then they came back in the second half, and they had put something on themselves that made them smell like manure. It was on their hand. Maybe it was manure. I don't know. And it just was repulsive to our players. And so it was. But they stayed in the game. Our players stayed in the game. They didn't walk off. We asked the referee about this, but there is no rule against offensive smell in high school football. And so we lost. Well, so what? It could have been worse, as we say. And there was a homecoming dance afterward, and many of the Millet players attended in their really tasteless and ugly letter jackets, the black and purple. And I'm pleased to say that no Lake Wobegon girl left with a Millet player. Our women were loyal to us, and can you ask more than that? No. Our women stayed with us, even though we lost to them in a humiliating defeat. It's a town which is in the throes of getting ready for winter. Winter is coming down on us. It's a town, old-fashioned town, where people often don't lock their doors at night, which can be kind of a surprise. Everybody knows what's going on. There are no secrets in a town. People know who's turned their furnaces on. Even though it's against the code to turn them on this early, we know. People are secretive about it, but people bake cookies and they leave the oven door open. They lie in a hot bath. They have these heating pads. They sit on them in their kitchen chairs. We know. We know who they are. Dorothy down at the Chatterbox Cafe was talking to Pastor Liz, and she said, "So how's the parsonage working out? The heat working okay?" Pastor Liz kind of sat up straight. She said, "I make it a rule never to turn the heat on before November the 1st, no matter what. It's just a rule." A lady minister with kind of a macho streak. We like that. In our town, she's planning to go out duck hunting. She's a biker. She bikes 20 miles at a time, about three times a week, and then she comes back to the parsonage and she does 100 crunches. And there's a kind of a pastor pride which is cropping up among Lutherans in Lake Wobegon. They're bragging on their pastor to their relatives down in the city. Yeah, we got a new pastor. Got a new pastor. Woman, Italian. She's Italian. She's come from out east. She's quite a woman. She's a biker, and she does all kinds of things. And good-looking woman. But, boy, you could see her put away the beer. She goes into the sidetrack tap on a Friday night, never on a Saturday night, always on a on a Friday night. And, boy, she stands there at the end of the bar, and sometimes she dances the Lindy Hop to whatever's on the jukebox, sings along. She's quite something. Yeah, she's not Norwegian, didn't go to St. Olaf, but she's some. Single, don't know what the story is there, but she's some. Yeah, she's our pastor, new pastor. They're proud of her. They are. But there's some things you don't want to know about a pastor. It's different with other people, you see. It's different with other people. You don't lock your doors of your house, and people in Lake Wobegon are liable just to walk right in if they know you well enough. And if they do walk in on you, they may get to know you a lot better. down in the cities, you would not think of walking around your house naked at night. But in Lake Wobegon, sometimes they do, and you could walk into the kitchen, and there's your brother-in-law standing at the counter, and he's making coffee, and he turns, and there you are without a stitch of clothing on you. You're on your way down to the basement to get your dress out of the dryer, and there he is standing there, and he looks over, and he says, "Oh, I didn't know you were home." And he turns away, he's looking away from you, but he's looking in the window to get your reflection. Oh, you say, "Well, I didn't know you were here." And you go upstairs and you put on a bathrobe and you come back down and you stand around with him in the kitchen and you talk about various things, about children and about the high school and about the elections coming up, and you talk about dogs and your vacation this summer. And he has just seen you in the altogether. He's seen you in your birthday suit. So what do you do? What do you do? Do you leave town? Do you move to Chicago? Do you change your name? No. No, you let it be his problem, you see. Let him worry about it. You don't need to worry about it. Because as time goes by, his memory of you gets better and better and better. Let him deal with it. But you don't want to walk in the parsonage. Nobody would walk in the parsonage because we don't want to know. We do not want to know. We do not. Father Wilmer gets in his car after Friday night mass, and he drives off and he heads south, and maybe he drives to a rest stop on the highway and he gets out of his black shirt and his collar. And maybe he puts on a pink shirt and puts on some flamboyant tie. And maybe he drives to a club down in Minneapolis where they dance the Charleston. And nobody knows him down there, and they don't know that he is a priest. We don't want to know about this. We don't want to hear about this, you see. And we dread the thought that he might stand up during Mass and tell us one morning and be in a confessional mood and say, "I have an announcement that I want to make. I need to tell you, my parishioners, something, my fellow Christians, I need to tell you that I have been aware for some time of an obsessive interest in my part on having large women feed me pureed vegetables with their bare hands. And I've tried to control this. And I've been in therapy, but I got in my car 2 days ago, and I drove off to southwestern Minnesota, and I found a cafe called Mom's, and I looked in, and the waitress weighed 340 pounds, and I sat down there, and I offered her $100 to make me eat squash. And I was arrested for indecent table manners, and I just ask for your prayers and your support. We don't want to know this. We don't want to hear about his private life. People were shocked the other day in Lake Wobegon to see our constables, Gary and Leroy, arguing out on the street. It was late at night. They were standing out in front of the sidetrack tap. Maybe beer was involved. They'd come from a party at the Sidewinder out in the country for Carl from the volunteer fire department. He'd gotten married for the third time. And there was a big party going on at the Sidewinder. They were a little bit lit, and they were pushing each other. They were poking each other. Law enforcement having an argument. And Gary was saying, "Well, it's your fault." And Leroy was saying, "Well, whatever. Whatever. I don't care. not talking to you. And he pushed him. And Gary went off back to the Sidewinder, and Leroy just kind of wandered around, kind of half lost. He's still wearing his gun belt and everything, and feeling sad because he couldn't go back to the party. It was a wild party out at the Sidewinder. People had had enough to drink that they were in a very loose mood, and they were dancing with people ordinarily they wouldn't even shake hands with, and people they knew from church, and people just whooping and yelling, and all sense of appropriateness was completely gone. He was missing out on this party. He couldn't go there because his partner was there. So Leroy walked over to his girlfriend's house, Anne Marie, and he walked in. And she doesn't lock her doors, so he just walked in. And he tiptoed up the well-worn stairs up to her bedroom, not knowing that her aunt, Charlene, was visiting from El Paso, Texas. And she had given her aunt Charlene her bed, and Anne Marie was sleeping up in the attic. Leroy walked into the bedroom. It was all perfectly dark, and he took his clothes off, and he crawled into bed, and it was all nice and warm and toasty, and he was feeling happy, and he kind of spooned up behind her, and he was kissing her on the neck and telling her how much he loved her. And this woke her up about the time that he was realizing that this was not Anne Marie, this was somebody else. Charlene is 71 years old, and this sort of thing had not happened to her for a while. And she turned and she said, "My, you are a big, strong man," she said. "I certainly never expected this." And he started to slip away, and she got him in a tight lock, and she got him in a lip lock, and he said, "Who are you?" And she told him. Charlene is kind of low maintenance. You ask her one question and you can spend the next hour listening to the answer. And she told him all about her life in El Paso, Texas, and her ranch there where she raises dust, and the various ne'er-do-wells that she's been involved with over the years, and the country singer that she drove around with for years in his pickup truck with his dog. And she was loving up Leroy like crazy. And that was about when Anne Marie walked in, and she turned on a light, and she looked at Leroy, and she said, "How could you? How could you?" And he said, "I thought she was you," which was the wrong thing to say. She hauled him out of there. She hauled him out of bed, and she shoved him out the door half naked and threw his clothes out on the lawn, and she locked the door after him. And there he was, midnight, had to go home, back to his mobile home out there on the edge of town. He opened up the door. Moths were beating at the screen there. It was a cold, cold night. He walked in, and he turned, and he could look through his window and see his neighbors, the Rasmussens. They were sitting at their kitchen table, and Mrs. Rasmussen had just taken a warm apple pie out of the oven, and she cut a big slab of it and put two slices of cheese on it for Mr. Rasmussen. And they sat down, and she had a little sliver of pie herself, and they sat down, not talking to each other, but late at night, and both of them in their pajamas. And both of them, you could see the thought balloons up over their heads. You could see what they were thinking. And he was thinking, "This is the best apple pie and cheese that I have ever had. And it wouldn't take much to lure me up those stairs, woman. And I could surprise you up there. I know that I could." And she was thinking, "You know, if you touched me right now, I would follow you upstairs. And I would do things that would amaze you even after 27 years of marriage." He could see them both there. It broke his heart. And he reached over and he turned on the thermostat. And the furnace started up with a roar. He turned it all the way up to 78 degrees. And he sat there thinking long thoughts, law enforcement in Lake Wobegon. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the men are good looking, all the women are strong, and all the children are above average.